We're reading from Zohar for All, articles for Passover, Your Right Hand, O Lord, Majestic in Power. It's on Passover brochure page, well, in Hebrew. You can send us your questions to Kav.tv. Select the question will be heard in the course of the lesson. Zohar for All, page 58 in Hebrew, Passover brochure. Page 42 in Passover brochure, item 287.
We are in the preparations for Passover. About 50 of our friends are working different kinds of preparations. So, when we are learning, we will also think of them. Yes.
287. Your right hand, O Lord, majestic in power. When the left comes to mate with the right, it is written, majestic in power will shatter the enemy. And the zivug is always in the right, since the left is in the right, included in it. 288. It turns out that man is split. He is only half a body, and his other half is the female. So he will accept his mate later, and they will become one body. Thus, your right hand is half a body, so he will receive the left. This is why he strikes and heals with one hand. And why it is written, your right hand, O Lord, will shatter the enemy. The right extends from the point of Cholam. When Malchut rose to Bina, and Keter and Chochma remained in the degree, and Bina and Tiferet and Malchut fell to the lower degree. Keter and Chochma that remained in the degree are the point of Cholam, the right. Bina and Tiferet and Malchut fell from the degree are the left, the point of Shuruk. Thus, the right is only half a body, and the left is its other half. The whole issue of the zivugim, of one in another, is that first there were two halves of a body, and then they mate. 289.
It's a great difference between what they used to be as one body, and then they separated, and now they're connecting again, because their connection is our entire work. That there was a machine working very well, fine. I completely disassembled it. I mixed it up. Mixed up all the pieces. And now I'm giving it to my small child and I'm telling him, well, start composing it back. And he's starting to do it just as it was before I disassembled it. So what is done here? What's the addition? There's nothing new in the machine itself, right? But what happened to him by him assembling the machine? You will know every piece, why, what for, how all the pieces have to be connected, how the whole machine works, and how it works perfectly in all its different actions. He acquired it all. This is what we are acquiring in our corrections. All right? Continue.
289. Your right hand, O Lord, will shatter the enemy. It is written for the future, when the Messiah King awakens. It does not write shattered, but will shatter, in future tense, for the future to come. 290. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise against you, You send forth your anger. It consumes them as straw. It is all written for the future. Your right hand, O Lord, majestic in power, in this time, in this world. Your right hand, O Lord, will shatter the enemy at the time of the Messiah King. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise against you. It's for the coming of Gog and Magog. You send forth your anger. It consumed them as straw. It's for the revival of the dead, as it is written, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. 291. At that time, happy are those who will stay in the world. None will remain in the world except those who were circumcised, who received the sign of the Holy Covenant, and came in the Holy Covenant in the two parts, circumcision and exposing. And he keeps that covenant and does not let him into a place where he shouldn't. Those are the ones who will remain and will be written for eternal life. 299. It is written, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy. In other words, he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem means that anyone who was circumcised enters these two degrees, Zion and Jerusalem. And if he keeps that covenant properly and is careful with it, it is written about him, he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem. Those will remain at that time, and with them the Creator will renew the world and rejoice in them. It is written about that time, may the glory of the Lord be forever. Let the Lord rejoice in his works. 293.
Okay, we'll continue. I don't see any questions.
It is written, in that day Israel will be the third party with Egypt and Ashur, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Ashur, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. But are Ashur and Egypt near to the Creator? 294. It was said about the sons of the exile who would rise from Egypt and from Ashur. And it was said about Egypt and Ashur themselves, about the pious one among them, who repented and remained to serve Israel and the Messiah King. As it is written, and all kings shall bow down before him. And also, and kings will be your guardians.
Who wanted to ask over there? Go ahead.
You gave an example of a machine. The Creator seemingly disassembles it and let us put it together, and it doesn't change. But you, as a father or a grandfather, when you give such a disassembled machine to your grandson, you don't really expect him to invent the deficiency, the lack to put it together again, because your role is to give him a deficiency, a lack.
Of course, I awaken him to have the deficiency by the sufferings, blows. We are forced to come to the machine and to assemble it, of course. He doesn't forget about us, he helps us.
I'm a teacher, and as a teacher, I always have to awaken a positive deficiency so that the child will want to do it because he sees that this is a good thing for him.
Well,
I never expect him to attain a deficiency by himself because he wouldn't want any.
It's clear he can't get the deficiency himself, but you have to awaken him to the deficiency. So he awakens us to the deficiency. The Creator awakens us for the deficiency. He gives us, just as Bala Sulam says, within this agonizing, sorrowful life, he gives us a spark of a small beam of light comes to us. And that's what he does. He gives us guidance, what we should aspire to. And don't think that in this world you're getting the mind how to treat the children from somewhere else. It's the same principle. It comes for you from above, and you do it the same. It's only that you don't understand. It's the same. You think that you have the mind, the wisdom, how to behave with the children, that it doesn't come from above. That comes from you. Well, you're a teacher. I understand. Yes.
From the way I understand it, our work in the group is always to build a deficiency. What we're building...
to awaken the friends. Yes.
It is very different than...
Why? Why? No. The Creator gives us a negative deficiency. Pain, different kinds of things. We can, between us, awaken a positive deficiency, not a negative one. By envy, lust, honor, different kinds of awakenings, a game that I'm acting towards them, how burning I am towards the goal and everything. Well, go ahead, do it. You will hasten the time and have a lot less agony as a result of that. You were given the means. The question is, are you using them? Guys, we're not using our means, so what are your accusations? Who are you accusing? You also have a question? Well,
when we read the Zohar, so I don't know what the puzzle is and how to put it together, so I don't understand your example.
That's true. That's true. What do you think, that these books are a manual, how to assemble it? No. These books are in order to awaken the light, so that the light will bestow upon you, and you will know as a result of the way it affects you. It works the way it works in you, so then you will know how to assemble this.
So what is the current example? I'm looking at the puzzle box and I want to know what to do.
You have to awaken the light. Yes? To bring you the understanding what to do with this box, this puzzle box.
And what does it mean? I need to want to awaken the light.
I'm looking at the different pieces in the box. Yes? I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do. I'm like a dog looking at them. Say you have a dog in the house. How would he look at a jigsaw puzzle? He would breathe a little bit, smell. No, there's nothing in it. Car box. Doesn't interest him. You need reforming light to come to you and to give you flavor in it, purposefulness, importance in it, that you'll feel the importance, what you are attaining by that. The only thing we are missing is light. He brings the mind, the emotion, the guidance, and then I'll be able to scrutinize. That's it.
You described in the previous part of the lesson the work that the owners of the Zohar did. Ten people sitting, writing it together. So it's hard to...
What's hard?
To connect to it.
Why do you have to do the same? Do the same like him. Sit in a circle and awaken the reforming light. What they did.
But I don't know how to do that kind of work.
No one is demanding you to know it. You are demanded to do what they teach.
What does it mean to keep what you're doing, what they're saying?
Just as you teach a child who comes to you, he's born in your house, comes to you to be educated. He doesn't know anything. He's not demanded to know anything. Only one thing. Listen, hear, and perceive as much as you can. And he's given according to his way. What is possible?
Specifically in the Zohar, what does it mean to be that child who doesn't know anything? Where do I start from?
You start from doing what the Kabbalists tell you. Sit down, integrate, connect, and read. And expect as much as you can for it to affect you. that, we'll move on to the next part.
Moving on.
Just learn from yourselves how much you're all the time revolving around one point, and you're so stubborn, and you give me different excuses as if that will help. I identify with your excuses and your words, but at the same time I'm telling you it won't help. Stop repeating the same record all over again. Start doing what the Kabbalists are advising you to do. That will be more beneficial. Shal Kavanot. Let's see, there was someone over there who wanted to read Tess. Where's that wise guy? Oh, he's still here? Good.